Chapter 95. In her voice, besought her to continue that charming story. And on her side gentle thoughts, and simple pleasures were odious to Mrs. Becky. They discorded with her. She hated people for liking them. She spurned children and children lovers. Have no taste for bread and butter, she would say, when caricaturing Lady Jane and her ways to my Lord Steyne. No more as a certain person for holy water, his lordship replied with a bow, and a grin and a great jarring laugh afterwards. So these two ladies did not see much of each other except upon those occasions, when the younger brother's wife, having an object to gain from the other, frequented her. They my loved, and my dear'd each other assiduously, but kept apart generally, whereas Sir Pitt, in the midst of his multiplied avocations, found daily time to see his sister-in-law. On the occasion of his first speaker's dinner, Sir Pitt took the opportunity of appearing before his sister-in-law in his uniform, that old diplomatic suit which he had worn when attaché to the Pumpernickel legation. Becky complimented him upon that dress, and admired him almost as much as his own wife and children, to whom he displayed himself before he set out. She said that it was only the thoroughbred gentleman who could wear the court suit with advantage. It was only your men of ancient race whom the cule at court became. Pitt looked down with complacency at his legs, which had not, in truth, much more symmetry or swell than the lean court sword which dangled by his side looked down at his legs, and thought in his heart that he was killing. When he was gone, Mrs. Becky made a caricature of his figure, which she showed to Lord Steyne when he arrived. His lordship carried off the sketch, delighted with the accuracy of the resemblance. He had done Sir Pitt Crawley the honor to meet him at Mrs. Becky's house, and had been most gracious to the new baronet and member. Pitt was struck too by the deference with which the great peer treated his sister-in-law, by her ease and sprightliness in the conversation, and by the delight with which the other men of the party listened to her talk. Lord Steyne made no doubt but that the baronet had only commenced his career in public life, and expected rather anxiously to hear him as an orator, as they were neighbors, for Great Gaunt Street leads into Gaunt Square, whereof Gaunt House, as everybody knows, forms one side. My lord hoped that, as soon as Lady Steyne arrived in London, she would have the honor of making the acquaintance of Lady Crawley. He left a card upon his neighbor in the course of a day or two, having never thought fit to notice his predecessor, though they had lived near each other for near a century past. In the midst of these intrigues, and fine parties and wise and brilliant personages, Rawdon felt himself more and more isolated every day. He was allowed to go to the club more, to dine abroad with bachelor friends, to come and go when he liked, without any questions being asked. And he and Rawdon the younger many a time would walk to Gaunt Street, and sit with the lady and the children there, while Sir Pitt was closeted with Rebecca, on his way to the house, or on his return from it. The ex-colonel would sit for hours in his brother's house very silent, and thinking and doing as little as possible. He was glad to be employed of an errand, to go and make inquiries about a horse or a servant, or to carve the roast mutton for the dinner of the children. He was beat and cowed into laziness and submission. Delilah had imprisoned him and cut his hair off too. The bold and reckless young blood of 10 years back was subjugated and was turned into a torpid, submissive, middle-aged, stout gentleman. And poor Lady Jane was aware that Rebecca had captivated her husband, although she and Mrs. Rawdon my dear'd and my loved each other every day they met. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.